Next case for argument is Petta v. Gonzalez. Ms. Cola, or Mr. Cola, sorry. Mr. Cola.
May it please the court, counsel. Now, this case involves a Latvian citizen who arrived in the United States in February of 1997 on fraudulent documents. Subsequent to her arrival in the United States, she married an American citizen. Subsequent to that, she filed what's commonly referred to as an I-130 petition. Basically, the American citizen husband is seeking to get her a green card through that marriage. Their interview was set for September 10th, 1998. At that time, they were arrested by Immigration Service based on a variety of criminal violations, including document fraud and visa fraud in this case. They were, in essence, smugglers from people from Latvia. At that time, when their scheduled interview was to appear, they obviously failed to appear, and there was a denial of their I-130 petition. Subsequent to that, my client, Ms. Petta, was sentenced to a nine-month prison sentence. Okay. Subsequent to her released from prison, she was placed in removal proceedings, and after a series of continuances on the final court appearance, she asked for another continuance in order to re-adjudicate her I-130. The I-130 petition was denied not based on the merit of the I-130 petition, but based on the fact that she and her husband failed to appear. And the reason why they failed to appear is because they were in immigration custody or federal custody at that time. There was a motion to reopen, which at the time of the last hearing before the immigration judge was open as far as anyone can tell at that point. Counsel for Ms. Petta at that time asked for a final motion to continue in order to adjudicate the I-130 petition, because if the I-130 petition would be adjudicated, then she would be eligible for adjustment of status. The immigration judge at that point denied the I-130 petition, basically stating to the effect, it doesn't seem likely anytime soon that the I-130 would be adjudicated in this case. Generally, this court lacks jurisdiction on discretional issues with regard to immigration court matters. But as this court decided in the case of Subhan versus Gonzalez, this court does have certain jurisdictional issues with regard to discretionary matters. In the case of Subhan, that case dealt with almost a similar type of situation. In that case, we dealt with a labor certification that was pending at the time. It was pending for some time, and this court, in its decision, said, we have jurisdiction to decide that discretionary decision of the judge in that case. We believe that the same fact pattern is in this case. The only distinguishing factors between Subhan in this case is we have an I-130 petition that's pending, as far as anyone knows in this case, pending with Immigration Service, and therefore the judge was improper in denying that continuance in this matter. The court should have, the immigration judge should have granted that continuance, or at least in that case, as the case in Subhan, give
but
a valid.
Are there any factors here, given this criminal conduct directly related to immigration, are there any factors that could possibly justify either an adjustment of status or a voluntary departure?
You know, she might be eventually denied an adjustment of status, but there's no basis based on her criminal conviction.
But is there anything positive that she has going for her? Because it must be very difficult to get an adjustment of status or voluntary departure if you've committed immigration fraud. That must be the worst thing that the Immigration Service worries about.
Yeah, without question, it'd be a difficult time trying to get adjustment status or even getting voluntary departure. We're not saying that it's an easy case to get.
That's why I'm asking, are there any favorable characteristics that she has?
Yeah, there are. None of those are presented in
the
record.
In the record.
I don't know if you want me to go into them, but they're not in the record per se.
Well, it's interesting.
And isn't that, though, the fact that she has this conviction and these problems, isn't that what distinguishes it from the two cases that you cited?
You know, it isn't.
And it's problematic. So even if there was error on the part of the immigration judge, it ends up being harmless in light of her circumstances.
Well, you know, I would argue no, Your Honor. And the reason is this. The issue is before us the I-130 petition. The I-130 petition has nothing to do with if you're a good person or a bad person, if you have criminal convictions or you don't have criminal convictions. All that matters on the I-130 is, are you legitimately married to an American citizen?
Well, that's a good question here.
Well, yeah, it is, but that issue.
Whether this is a legitimate marriage.
But, you know, that issue has never been decided at this point.
Well, but it's a fact here, isn't it, that all these Latvian dancers were being brought in and he was enslaving them in a club, and she was the one he married. It just seems sort of odd that there's going to be a lot of equity on your client's side here.
Yeah, but we're putting the cart before the horse in that case.
No, but also, well, adjustment of status is not automatic. Just because you're married to an American citizen doesn't mean you get, you know, adjusted to lawful resident. They look at all sorts of things that you have to put in the I-30 and the I-485
correct.
And so on. There's a whole list of...
Correct, Your Honor. And we're not saying it's an automatic thing that if you have an I-130 approval, you automatically get an adjustment
right.
status. There's a lot of steps that have to go on before then.
Isn't good character a factor?
Good character is. There's a, but
and that to me is like a major hurdle. For her.
Your Honor, again...
The I-30, you know?
But as far as the I-130 issue is concerned, good character has nothing to do with that. I-130 strictly, are you married to person
A? No, but you don't get the adjustment of status without jumping through these other hoops, as you've said.
The adjustment of status you get at the end of it, when you go through the whole process, you have
right.
an I-130 approved, then they look at your manner.
The question is, it seems so hopeless that she could ever hope to get adjustment of status.
But, Your Honor, the problem is we don't know that. We don't know what the equities are. And the equities were never presented to this to the judge, immigration judge in this case, because the judge denied her that opportunity to get to that point. It might be that ultimately her case is denied. Or it might be that she has such sympathetic factors that a waiver is justified in her case, and therefore the adjustment will be approved. But what the court did in this case, in essence, deny that opportunity, deny... And if the court would have said in its decision that there's no way this I-130 petition can be approved... for technical reasons, then that's a fine and valid reason, and this court should uphold that. But the court didn't say that. The court just said, basically, it's not going to be proved anytime soon. That's the basis of the decision.
Well,
the
it's a little more than that, because the judge thought that he shouldn't grant the continuance because she wasn't going to get the adjustment of status. I mean, he might be right, you know, right or wrong, but that's not the same thing as just saying I'm going to deny the continuance and not give you a chance to, which was what our previous cases have involved. They just deny the continuance, which blocks the ability to get the I-130 adjudicated. But here he says, well, the reason I'm doing it is that you don't have a good character, and therefore there's really no purpose in keeping this going.
You know, I understand that, but under the statute, she's allowed to present a waiver. And in that waiver, she's allowed to present good character information and evidence in that case.
But these immigration judges are overwhelmed. So if they see a hopeless case, doesn't it make sense for them to terminate it then rather than continuing the, you know, paperwork proliferation that these proceedings involve?
But, Your Honor, we don't know if it's a hopeless case. And neither did this immigration judge know it was a hopeless case. She might have had some notions of it being a hopeless case, but without hearing the other side, without hearing the other evidence, the equities involved in the petitioner's case, she could not make that determination.
Well, when you come this country on a false visa with a false name, do you ever get to...
As far as getting away...
Looked upon favorably?
Well, it's not looked favorably, but it is. You have asylum applicants who come here routinely on false documents, and eventually their adjusted status, even though one of the factors in denying an adjustment of status is how you get into the country.
There's this isn't an asylum case. So.
Those are asylum cases, but there's also cases where people get into the country using other people's documents and eventually adjusting status. It's a variety of factors that they have to consider.
Right, but then we still get back to the conviction, which is very hard to explain away.
I'm not saying it's easy to explain away. What I'm saying to you, we never even get to that point.
Is that true you didn't get to that point? Because when the immigration judge said there was no good cause for the continuance because of bad character, then you appealed to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Wasn't that the time to say, look, this judge made a mistake here. He said she has no bad character, but he overlooked, you know, the various equities that would justify over, you know, forgiving her. Couldn't you have done that?
But, you know, we can't present the evidence of equities at that point. There's no manner of presenting that at that level of the proceedings.
You make an offer of proof. You say, look, Judge, you say to the Board of Immigration Appeals, look, if the judge hadn't denied this continuance, on the basis of, you know, bad character, we could have shown that she's should have adjustment of status. We have the evidence. We have been given an opportunity to present it.
You know, technically, we would be going outside of the record in that case. There would be the only avenue of doing that would be a motion to reopen. But the issue was not something was denied for, the waiver wasn't granted properly. The issue was there was no continuance when it should have been granted in this case, Your Honor. I see that my time is up. If there's any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Andre?
May it please court, counsel. There's a significant difference between this case and Stupan, and it's the reason why Stupan is not controlling. In Stupan, you had a situation where the immigration judge denied a continuance because the labor certification just simply had not been acted on and gave that as the reason for denying the continuance. Here we specifically, as Your Honor pointed out, specifically have a reason given by the immigration judge for denying the continuance based on the inability to show good moral character because of the criminal convictions. So in Stupan, it was an articulation problem. Essentially, the immigration judge was not making a discretionary decision because the judge gave no reason for denying the continuance other than an invalid reason. Here, we do have a reason for denying a continuance. That is a permissible reason and a permissible exercise of discretion, because even if she had, even her, if her motion to reopen, her visa petition had been granted, and even if her visa petition had been approved, the judge is saying it's not going to make any difference because you're not going to be able to show good moral character. Just on the additional issues that were raised with respect to notice, we reiterate that those issues were not exhausted before the board with respect to advising her of potential eligibility for relief. We would also add that with respect to voluntary departure, she's for the same reason that she was not qualified for adjustment of status, she would not also be qualified for voluntary departure. One of the requirements for voluntary departure is having good moral character. So if in fact the immigration judge erred in not advising about voluntary departure, it wouldn't have made any difference anyway because she wouldn't qualify. Those are the only points I wanted to make. If there are no further questions, I'll conclude my argument.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Andre. Mr. Cola, does he have any time? No? Okay, so your time has expired.